Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and especially to be with you on a day like today of Mother's Day. I had to bring Karen away from home, and she won't be able to see our son Wayne today, but she'll get to see our daughter Lauren, and we'll have dinner with her on the way home. But Mother's a great day, and I can think of the many, many times that my mother put her arms around me and told me she loved me. And if there was one person I could see today, it would be her, and let her take me by the hand and stroll me across her flower gardens and show me all the flowers that she had. And she cared for me as a little boy the way she cared for all of those flowers she did in her later life and all the grandchildren that would come and different ones who would come to the farm. Special day. Thank you, mothers. And we're going to be looking at this concept of Mother's Day. May 8, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law a day that would honor mothers. 1914, a little over 100 years ago, this concept was recognized as the National Day of Recognition for Mothers. And we want to say thank you. And I'll say thank you several times throughout this time we're looking at the scriptures. There was a gentleman in France said that Napoleon once said, "Let France have good mothers, and France will have good sons." I remember a great quote, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." That's so true, isn't it? Max Licato said, "A mother who loves and prays for her children is a force to be reckoned with." And that is so true. You know, I was asked, or I saw this on Facebook, and a lady here in this assembly put it on her Facebook and had it so that I could see it. And it's the story goes of a lady was crossing a river, and she had a big pot, not a pot, but a basket on top of her head, and she's got, it looks like a little 3 or 4 year old boy in the little basket, and water's up to her neck, and she's crossing the river to get that little boy across. And what I thought was so interesting was the caption on this picture. It said, "A little boy," and I guess it was using this little boy in the basket. This little boy asked his dad one day, he said, "Dad, what does it mean to be a man?" And he said, "Well, a man is someone who teaches you the good principles of life. He provides for you, he loves you, and he cares for you." And this little boy said, "Good, I want to be a man just like my mother." That's true, isn't it? That's true. We've got a lot to be thankful for when we think back of the precious memories we have of my mother, who is now in heaven, and I look forward to seeing her, and it probably won't be long. You know, it's interesting, New York Times, many years ago, there was a ladies' group in New York City asked the Time and the editors to give them a list of the top greatest women in the United States. They wanted a list of the 12 greatest women in the United States. Now, how would you answer that question? Well, after many days of consideration, the elders got back to this committee, and they said, "We're sorry, but we can't give you the name of the 12 greatest women in the United States because they hadn't been heard of outside their home." And that's true, isn't it? I think the greatest ones that's influencing our country today is those mothers in the home taking care of those precious ones. And you know, I look in the audience this morning and I see a lot of young people. I was reminded of Spurgeon also. He had a preacher's class that he would teach many years ago. And when he would walk into the class, he would bow before the audience. And finally, one day, someone asked him, Preacher, why do you bow in front of the class? And he said, because I don't know who's in the audience. That's something to think about, isn't it? I remember back last summer, we went to visit our old house in Julian, and we lived right across from an elementary school, and I remember looking out there on the playground, and here's all of these kids playing, and I remember thinking of that, and as I was looking at those kids, I started crying. I don't know who is on that playground. I don't know who is in our audience this morning. But the hand that rocks the cradle is the one that's going to rule the world. And we don't know who we have in our audience this morning that we should one day be showing respect or bowing to, as it were. You know, I think England does have one thing above us, and that is they do have a king and a queen, and that country does know a little bit about the authority and so forth that a king and a queen has. And we'll get more details on that when we get to heaven, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be there. You know, this morning I want us to think a little bit about the concept of honoring our mothers. I want us to look at a young man that had a great mother and a grandmother. And I want us to think about it. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1, and we have there a challenge. It says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a great challenge, isn't it? Children, and I think today we're honoring mothers, we could say, children, obey your mothers. Because there's two promises given to this. It says that things will go well for you. Because who has your greatest interest at heart? It's mom, isn't it? Mom is not just looking at what's going on in your heart and in your life today, maybe if you're 2, 3, a teenager or whatever, they're looking down the road. They're not only looking at you now, the present, but they're looking down the road at what God could do in your life and in your life and heart if you put Him as Lord in your life, as we heard in a Sunday school class this morning. He says, if you obey and you do this and you show the honor and respect, things will go well. You know, I've been, as the old expression used to be in where I'm from, I've been around the world and to 2 county fairs. But you know, the more you're out in the world and the more you travel and the more you're around different cultures and so forth, you can see the children and the young people that have respect for their parents, and especially their mother. And what will be the result of living well? I think it adds years to your life. It really does. You know, this morning again, I want us to look, if you would, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have 2 ladies mentioned. And I believe this was a tag team, a mother and a grandmother, and what they did in the life of a young man, their son and their grandson. And you'll see the results of 2 mothers rocking this cradle and the influence they had in this young man's life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start off in verse 2, because it tells us about Timothy's spiritual father. Listen to what it says. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And listen to the, here's the point. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Two great women. And I really believe that I think God made it such that in many cases, mothers, when you have that little baby, when you hold that little baby in your arms, you've got the most important job on the earth. And it's the biggest job could ever be given you, and you know the least about how to do it. I can remember holding my kids in my arms. I had the privilege of being in the delivery room when they were both born. And I remember just holding them in my arm and thinking, oh, what books am I going to read now? How am I going to do this great task that's been given to me? And I know Karen, I remember handing those little babies to her after the umbilical cord had been cut and so forth. And the joy on her face. And I remember all of the agony that was on her face when those little babies were being delivered. But then to see the joy on her face when she was able to hold those little babies in her arms. That's quite a privilege, isn't it? And here's two women. And I think it's interesting when we think about these two women and we look at what they did to influence Timothy, I think we'll see what a great mother and a grandmother ought to be. Now, we may have some real celebrities in our audience. Do we have any great, great grandmothers in our audience? We've got one right here. Praise the Lord. She's a triple celebrity. It's interesting, they tell us apples don't fall far from the tree. And I think we'll see that when we look at Lois and Eunice, that apples didn't fall far from the tree. They had a godly young man that had a great influence in our world. I think it's interesting when you look at the names. And many times I remember in my younger days, I would just read through the names and never really research and find out what the names mean. But now, every time I see a location or a name or something like that, I want to know what that means. Because many times, knowing the meaning of the name, it will just open the passage up to you, and you'll be blessed with something you can't quite understand. Think about this one. Lois. That name means agreeable. Agreeable. Now, in order to be agreeable, you have to be a good listener, don't you? Because if you disagree before you hear what they say, then you are not going to be agreeable and you're not going to be able to live up to the name of Lois. Do we have any Loises here this morning? No, we don't. We've got one in our meeting in Reedsville. But agreeable. Agreeable in being a good listener. I read a book several years ago on the seven desires of the heart. You know what number one is? The number one thing that this professor gave out, the number one desire of every human heart is to have someone to listen to them without talking, to be able to listen to them and to be heard about what they want to share. And I think that's the kind of environment that Lois, if we use her name as an example, that's the kind of environment. And his mother, Eunice, means good victory. Of course, both of these definitions come from Thayer's dictionary. But that's a good environment, isn't it? Agreeable and good victory. That's a good environment to raise a little boy in, isn't it? And of course, you know what they named this little boy? Timothy. And Timothy means honoring God. And Mr. Strong says it means dear to God. And I think here's a young boy that lived up to his name. He had a very godly name, and he lived up to it. It's interesting, if you'll just turn to Acts chapter 16, you'll see here the first mention of this young fellow. And I think it's great when we read about Timothy and what it says there about him. Of course, we're looking here about Paul's travels and so forth. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Here's the point. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Well reported of. That's amazing, isn't it? And if you look it up in a Greek concordance, you'll find that that expression, well reported by the brethren, is all one word. But it's translated for us, many words there. And it's interesting, this Greek word, maturo. What English word do we get from that? Maturo. Mature. Here's a young man. It says that he was well reported of by the brethren. Not his mom and dad. Not by his mother and his grandmother. But by the men in the community. Well reported of. That's the kind of testimony we want our children to grow up and to have, that testimony of a well-reported of, good character. You know, it's interesting, a lot of graduations has been going on here, and we went to one Friday. Karen's sister, her son, graduated from Campbell Law College, and the graduation was held in Raleigh, And, of course, we were looking at the program, and they've got all of these awards that they're going to be giving out. And the very first award is to a young man who had the best character of all of the law graduates that day. The best character and the most well-disciplined young man. And when they called out Joyce's son, guess what both parents did? They had no idea he was going to get that award, and he didn't know he was going to get the award. But you know what both of the parents were doing? They were just weeping. And they were not weeping because of sadness. You can't imagine the joy that went in their hearts, because here's this young man that gets this this recognition for having the best character of the graduating class. And all the other great awards, it took about 45 minutes to give out all the awards. But you know what? I had to look at them and say, he got the best award. Better than all of the academic awards. To have your children have the character where they're well spoken of. And young people, let me share this with you. The best thing you can do to honor your mother is to live and have such a character that they can look at you and be proud of your character and who you are. And who you are is far more important than what you accomplish in life. It's far more, it's far better than any title or any amount of money or any prestigious position that you can get. That's far more better for your mom and dad to be able to say how much they appreciate your character. You know, I think it's interesting, this young man, Timothy. I think it's so interesting that he is the only young man that's mentioned in the Bible in 13 epistles. And he's the only man in the New Testament that's called a man of God. Wow. Paul was not called a man of God. But I think he was. We would say that if we were to meet him. But he lived up to that reputation. He was a man of God. You know, I think it's three things that we can look at from these two mothers, and we can glean a lot from them. And, you know, it's interesting when we looked at that passage earlier in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said, I want to bring this to your remembrance about the unfeigned faith that first dwelt in your grandmother and your mother. Unfeigned faith. And it's interesting, here's a great word. If you look it up, it means undisguised, sincere, and without hypocrisy. Unfeigned. You know, the word feigned is used several times in the New Testament. And the word feigned is the word, if you look up the Greek word for that, it's plastic. When we look at something that's made out of plastic, does it have the same value as something that's really pure, that's made out of pure wood or pure gold, pure silver? Big difference, isn't it? When you think of plastic, you're thinking of a model of something that's really not genuine. But they had the kind of faith that was really real. I remember an expression that I heard a gentleman that used to quote all the time when I was a new believer, and he would say, well, I'm not just a SMO, Sunday morning only. They were 7/24, every day of the week, every hour of the day, they were genuine and they were real. They were not just, you know, a front on Sunday mornings. They were real all the time. And I can remember another fellow, Charles Crawford. Some of you may have heard him speak. I was privileged to sit under his ministry as a new believer. And he used to use two quotations all the time. And he would say, it's better felt than telt. And another one he would say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what these two women were? They had genuine faith. They were real. And Timothy could look at them and he saw the reality of what he should be doing. You know, I read a story one time of a preacher. He said, well, my mother practices what I preach. But, you know, Timothy could say, they practice and they preached, and then Timothy ended up preaching what they practiced. That's great, isn't it? They practiced what they preached, and Timothy ended up practicing what they preached. It's amazing. You know, it's interesting. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about us being an epistle. We are all a book, aren't we? An epistle written in the hearts. And we're read by all men, it says there in 2 Corinthians 3:2. Now, think about our lives as a book. I know when you go into a bookstore, what's the first thing you do? When you go into a bookstore, if all the books are lined up, you know, in order like this, how long do you look for a book? But if the book is facing you, and you can read the cover, all of a sudden you see books all through the bookstore that you would like to read, right? And what their intent is for you to buy the book. But our lives are like that. And I think these two godly women, they were like that. They were epistles, and Timothy read their character, and he wanted to mimic what he was seeing. And that's it. That's it. You know, think about another concept of pottery. I don't know if you have many potteries around here. We have several up in where we're from. But I remember several years ago, we were in Canada, and we were invited to dinner to a home one night. And while we were there, we had a great time of fellowship. And as it turned out, as we were looking through the house, we saw all kinds of pottery. We started asking questions. And as it turned out, the wife, she was a potter. And so we had all of these questions about pottery and so forth. And so everybody that was with us, we asked her to give us a demonstration. And she said, there's two important principles in being able to make something out of clay, pottery. You got to use both hands. And there's got to be one hand that starts off when the wheel starts spinning and the clay starts spinning. You put one hand in the middle. And then you put the other hand on the outside, and as you compress and press on that clay, you all of a sudden you can change the shape of it. Okay? You got to have one hand in the middle and one hand on the outside. And you know what? I think that's a beautiful picture. When we think about one hand being on the inside of a child, where is it at? It's on the heart, isn't it? And the other hand is in the outside activities of that little child. And as that child just spins through life, what's that mom able to do? She's able to make a beautiful piece of pottery. It's amazing to see all these things happen in their lives. These two women, they had genuine faith. They were the real deal, as we would say. They were the real deal. But I'll just look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll see this right here, what it says about Timothy. I'm sorry, it's chapter 3. Listen to what it says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, continue in the things that you were taught, as it were, as a little boy. That's what we want, isn't it? We want our children to continue. We want the Lord to use them in whatever way He has gifted them and so forth. But what do we want them to continue in? We want them to continue in the principles of the Word of God. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, continue in that. Because look at verse 15. He says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Continue. The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, moms, I think one of the best things you can do is to read to those little children. I can remember our little kiddos before they were ever born. I can remember Karen and I sitting in the living room, and here she's sitting in a rocking chair beside me, and I've got my hand on her stomach, and we're reading scriptures to that little baby. We didn't know if we was going to have a boy or a girl, but we're reading to that baby. And they tell us that the little children today, from all the technology that they have today, little children can actually hear and actually identify with their mother's voice. And they can do all these technologies to show you that when that little child hears mom's voice, the brain calms down. That's great, isn't it? We don't know when they started sharing scripture with Timothy, but they started off at an early age. And they need to learn the scriptures. They need to learn how to pray. You know, it's interesting, we had a young couple in our home week before last, and we had dinner. They've got five little kids, and the young lady, Ruthie, is expecting a baby. And she's got a little three-year-old now. And so we thought, and they've been telling me about his prayers. And so I asked him, I said, Benjamin, would you like to lead us in prayer tonight to thank God for our meal? And he started thinking, and he started off, and he prayed for that little baby that's in mommy's tummy. Okay? And then he gave thanks for all the other things. But they're never too young to start off, right? Teach the music. I can remember we've got a video that we love to look at. It's our little granddaughter when she was about 3 years old, and Karen was teaching her Amazing Grace. And if you can imagine a little three-year-old singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's great, isn't it? And that's what they need. They need to learn these songs. And we can teach them so much scripture from psalms and songs. But it's something they need to hear, isn't it? You know, here Paul says, Timothy, you've known this since you were a little child. A little child. You know, I can remember back in the 50s, I know we've got a few here that could remember this, TV commercials that used to be on television all the time. General Electric, they had a motto. And their motto was, progress is our most important product. Could I tell you what the most important product that we have? Moms, you know what the most important product that you've got? It's that little child. And it's amazing how they put a big smile on your face and how much joy they are to you when they're little and growing up. But I can tell you from experience, they give even greater joy to moms when they're grown and gone. Karen was reminding me the other day, she was going through a list of things that she was able to think about the kids. And I remember Wayne had moved away and gone to Dallas, Texas, and that year on Mother's Day, he wrote a song for Mom and called us up and sang it, played the guitar and sang it to Mom. Even today, Karen is reminded of that. What a joy. Here's a little boy that's now a big boy. Well, that size now. But he wrote a song about me, telling me how much he loves me. The point being is we need to teach our children these great things. Look also in this passage here. Paul goes on and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And when we say doctrine, that's what's right. For reproof, that's what's wrong. For correction, that's how to get right. And instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right, isn't it? Now, isn't that the thing that our kids need to be instructed in? What's right? What's wrong? How to get right when you do something wrong? And how to stay right? You know, it's interesting when you think about all of these different things right here about these things that these two godly women taught that little boy. What an influence they had in his life. And we've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, there's another mother here. I've got 5 minutes left. I want us to look at. We see a real mother and a real grandmother. But look in Romans chapter 16. And here, I'm not sure, and none of the books that I've read are able to tell us for sure that this was Paul's mother, his real mother, but most believe it was an adopted mother. Listen to what it says in 16:13. And here Paul is giving greetings to everyone. Listen to what he says. Greet Rufus. And again, some of the scholars believe that this was the son of the man who carried the cross of the Lord Jesus, chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. Was that Paul's mother? No. Most of the commentators I read say that they believe that that was Paul's adopted mother. You know, it's a thrill to see a family like this. We're all one big family, aren't we? And it's amazing to me how that you can take these godly women in our audience and you're able to do things for other people in the meeting. You can be a mother to them. I can remember a lady up in Kentucky. She reminded me so much of my mother, Miss Virginia. And I asked her one day, I said, "Would you mind letting me adopt you as my mother?" And she started crying and said, "Yes, you can call me mother anytime you want to." That's the kind of environment. Because in a local church, the older people are to be teaching the younger people, aren't we? I remember Karen's mom. She grew up, her dad was killed. He was a deputy sheriff, and he was making an arrest, and someone shot and killed him when she was 12 years old. So basically her teenage years and so forth, she grew up without a dad. And then she got married as a young lady, and she was pregnant with a baby, and her husband dies with cancer. And she knew what it was like not to have those loved ones in her life. But you know what she made a ministry out of? All the young couples at the chapel, every time one of them would have a baby, she had all of this material, all of this food that would go to that mother. She had adopted all of these kids, and she loved the little kids or teenagers that seemed to be going in the wrong direction. She would go to those kids in the hall and she would tell them that she loved them. She cared for them. She was praying for them. That's a mother adopting some children, isn't it? But you know what? It's even greater to walk into church and have kids come up and hug you and say, "Hey, Granddad." Because we adopted their kids. "Hey, Grandma." That's a thrill to see and to experience. And I think that's what Paul was experiencing here. And moms, you can show all of this love to your children, but you can also show it to the people around you. And people will listen to you when they won't listen to me. They won't listen to their dad. They won't listen to the college professor or the high school professor or whatever. They'll listen to you. I heard a story just a couple of weeks ago, a young man that was on a train. And as the train was going down the track, he was up and there was an argument between him and several people in the audience or that was on the train. And people was telling him to shut up and stop complaining and all of this. And here this battle is going on. And the story goes there was an elderly woman on the train. And she was sitting close to him, and she just held up her hand. The young boy took her hand and kneeled down on his knees and said, "Thank you, Grandma." She didn't say a word. But here she took this young man from a hostile position down to a humble position that he was willing to say, "Thank you, Grandma." And she was not related to him at all. But mothers, you got a great influence. And we thank you for that influence. You know, it's interesting. The word greet in many of these passages, it really means to salute. And if you've been in the military, you know what a salute means, right? You're showing respect to someone because of who they are and what they've done. Here's a passage I want us to close with. Just look at Hebrews 6:10. If you get emails from me, you'll get this passage sometimes. But I think this is great, and we can apply it to all you mothers in our audience. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 6:10. And I'm taking it out of its complete context, but listen to what it says. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And the way you've shown love and ministered to those little ones. God's not going to forget your labor of love. One day you'll hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Moms, we salute you this morning. We thank you for bearing the most precious seed. That little baby is the most complicated thing in the universe. And we've got the privilege, and you've got the privilege of training that little child in the way they should go. Let's give thanks. Father, we just thank you now for this special day. Father, we thank you that our government has seen the need to have a day where we set aside that we recognize mothers. And Father, we thank you for today that we can recognize each mother in our audience this morning and for the honorable position that you have given them to have a great influence in the lives of these little children. And Father, we thank you for each one of these mothers who have rocked the cradle and ruled the world in the heart of one of these little ones. And so we just give you thanks this morning for this special occasion that we can honor them. And Father, we thank you for the refreshments, the food that will be downstairs, and we just ask your blessing upon it. And Lord, we just, those of us whose mothers have gone on to heaven, we say we look forward to that day, not only to see our Savior, but to get a big hug from our mothers. And we look forward to that day, and we thank you and praise you in our Savior's precious name. Amen.